Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is Primetime on Money FM 89.3. I'm Howie Lim. While 80% of consumers are more likely to make a purchase from a brand that provides personalized experiences, 74% of marketing leaders reported that they struggle to scale their personalization efforts. As chatbots continue to be a mainstay for customer service, customer experience, work processes and operations, it's critical that businesses take the time to ensure the technology has a human touch, especially in the midst of the pandemic. Chatbots are allies in the race to expedite customer support and enhance self-service by not only reducing chat duration, but also learning all the nuances and varieties of how humans communicate, responding intelligently and quickly. Greg Bennett is Conversation Design Principal at Salesforce. He believes that companies should be focusing on building chatbots to be more empathetic to accomplish this human-like experience for customers and employees alike. Thanks for joining us today, Greg.
Thank you for having me.
So let's talk about what chatbots are like now. If there's a need to design them so that they're more empathetic and conversational, clearly they're not right now.
There's a lot of variation out in the market right now. The conversation design community has really grown a lot, especially in the last, I would say, 5 years. You know, traditionally, conversation design came from the world of IVR, where, you know, it's like on a phone and you press one to get sales, press two to get service. That sort of transitioned its way over to text when we had the advent of text-based chatbots in the last 7 to 8 years. But with the development and advancement of technology around natural language processing and sort of the ability to kind of put together several different features like natural language processing, named entity recognition, and your traditional rule-based chatbots, it can become a little bit more of a more robust experience, if you will. And I think that proliferation effect in this post-COVID world, that's where we start to see a lot more conversation around how does a chatbot effectively express the company's brand, voice and tone, values, personality through conversational experience. I think now that we're sort of in this pandemic, really, it's almost as if we are more isolated than ever, and therefore customers are more in need of that connection with not just people, but the entities with whom they do business. So for example, at Salesforce, we've seen over 193% of our pre-COVID baseline, meaning that our bots usage has effectively tripled since the start of the pandemic. And I think that's a signal of how businesses are sort of seeing that there's increased requests for customer service from their customer base, but also seeing that it's an effective way to be able to scale and still provide that conversational interaction.
Has technology, though, Greg, advanced to the point where you can design a chatbot that will speak pretty much like a human would? We're talking about a lot of nuanced things here because you want to also reach out to different regions where accents, the nuance toward the language.
I think it has. So for example, I work with a colleague who actually is based out of our Singapore office. His name is Samson Tan, and he's a researcher who I think is doing very cutting edge research around that exact thing, the phenomenon of dialects and how those sort of map linguistically and cross-culturally, even just within the same country, not everybody is going to speak the same language the same way. So I think that the technology is there to support it. It's more about teaching conversation designers and people who are building chatbots how to be robust in how they train their natural language models. One big thing that I get behind at Salesforce is the idea that when you're training the Einstein bot, for example, and you're training the intent so that way the bot can understand what the user is trying to say, I very specifically encourage the team to not put the word misspelling in the product, because framing of that assumes that there's a right and wrong way to spell something, when in conversation, it's really just about variation. So for example, because I don't have my voice or my face or my hands to be able to talk in conversation over text, I'm going to recruit from things like spelling and punctuation and emojis to convey that extra
feeling,
pragmatic,
if you will.
Meaning.
Okay.
Exactly. Okay. And so if I say, for example, to a chatbot, Y-A-A-A-A-S, yas, instead of yes, okay. In order to express, because such a spelling variation is representation of and conveying of the intersection of my identity, that the bot needs to be able to both recognize that it's not wrong, to not erase me when I'm trying to convey that, and also be able to accommodate it and say, okay, I understood you. I wouldn't go as far as to say we want to make chatbots human because it's a machine. At Salesforce, our number one value is trust. You can't build trust with your customers if you're, or making it out to seem like it's something that it's not, right? Like if the chatbot says, hi, I'm human, it's a lie. It's more about, because conversation is fundamentally a human behavior, that we can use linguistics to examine what are the parts and patterns of conversation that users and customers expect when they're having that kind of interaction, and then design for that. So it's about making the chatbot able to adhere to users' expectations for this human behavior, but not necessarily be human.
Are you seeing that this is what your customers want? That they're feeling it's necessary for me to put an empathetic chatbot, one that speaks like human, not exactly human?
Yes, I think that the chatbot itself is also a representative of the company, and thereby a representative of the company's voice and tone and brand. Now the experience is fundamentally the conversation. So user experience UX has traditionally been focused more on the graphical user interface realm. Now the conversation, the words, the discourse, that's actually the new user interface. And so they can recognize that if something gets misinterpreted, or if the bot comes across as sarcastic instead of actually genuine, or if it comes across as cold instead of warm, that could risk a possible a lowering in the CSAT rating.
We're speaking with Greg Bennett, who's conversation design principal at Salesforce. They believe that companies should be focusing on building chatbots to be more empathetic. How challenging, though, Greg, is it to build something like that?
Yes. I mean, it is challenging. I think that part of the difficulty there is trying to understand who is on the other side, who is the person that the chatbot is talking with. Should the chatbot ask a lot of questions or a few questions? Should the chatbot take longer pauses or shorter pauses? Should the chatbot use emojis or no emojis, or put a period at the end of the utterance or not? All of those things, I think, get very much constrained and inspired by the environments in which we as humans grow up and spend our lives chatting. That's how we develop our conversational competence, as we call it in linguistics, and thereby our conversational style, how we go about, you know, typing things. I'm going to put yas in a conversation and use emojis. My manager might not. Being able to understand from that, okay, given who our user base is and what we know about how they interact online and what our values are as a company and our brand voice and tone, how can we best drive alignment?
Greg, does it need to be so nuanced, you reckon? It sounds like you might need to go into an iteration times 7 billion iteration, because, or bespoke it to the point of 2-7 billion people.
Sure. And I think that I see conversational style as existing on a spectrum whereby, you know, I might be a little bit more enthusiastic over chat, but maybe not as enthusiastic as my sister, but that we all sort of exist within this realm of enthusiasm, and thereby we're willing to kind of, okay, relinquish. All right, so you didn't use an exclamation point there, but you know, your response rate is kind of high. So that mitigates it a little bit. To sort of answer your question about, you know, is it too much? I honestly think that because we know from linguistics, and we have research from linguistics about these personas of conversation, if you will, that actually can help us drive and scope more strategically the approach that we take with the design of the conversation.
Also, but you've found, though, in some research that there's comfort in conversing with AI, and that's actually increased during a time like this where there's sort of less face-to-face human connection. Talk us through
that. Yes, sure. I think that I've seen, and this is research that I've seen both online and in, you know, saw a recent publication about, I think My Girlfriend is a Chatbot was a headline, but also research from the Computer Human Interaction Conference that happens internationally within the HCI community, that users, there's an openness that they have with chatbots because there's this perception that it's not going to go anywhere, in the sense that I'm not going to be judged by the chatbot. I'm not going to have, like, the chatbot's not going to go to the water cooler and then like make some comment about me to their coworker, even if it's anonymous, that I can kind of speak into the void to a degree, but I'm being facilitated by the conversation. It's almost like a journal that talks back, or a journal that talks you through your experience, your feelings, what have you. Now more than ever, now that we have so many people who are in isolation as a result of the lockdowns all over the world, that chatbots can kind of be leveraged in that regard as an outlet. Psychotherapy can be quite expensive. Some people don't have insurance, depending on what country you're from. But if there's a free chatbot that you can kind of just pour your feelings out to and vent to, I think that there's real potential there for some.
Which sectors do you think, though, Greg, will benefit most from an empathetic chatbot, so to speak? Because most times, let's say if it were retail, I just want the problem solved. You've sent it to me in the wrong color. What's up now? I want it solved.
Yeah, I actually think that's where some of the biggest impact could happen for empathetic AI and empathetic chatbots, because that's where we see the most customer service volume growth and most sort of interaction at the moment. I think right now, one thing that I'm noticing, whether it's the US or Japan, I can feel the stress, I can feel the anxiety. What could have been considered previously as like a paper cut might feel a lot bigger now in terms of the experience, even if it is just, you sent me the wrong color. It could be, well, I have to go put my kids to bed, and I have to go, or, you know, they weren't paying attention on their remote learning today. The air is toxic. I can't go for a walk and I can't go out and get coffee because, you know, I could possibly catch this, you know, deadly virus. And I just wanted that yellow t-shirt and you sent it to me in orange. And so I think that that's really where the empathetic AI and empathetic chatbots can come in retail and consumer goods and even the public sector, because it can help alleviate even what could, you know, previously have been considered a small thing, but now feels like possibly, you know, that straw that breaks my back, if you will, that by asking, how can I help you, as opposed to this is what I can do for you, by giving or by even suggesting, like, here's a few things that I can help you with, how can I help you, rather than putting all the onus on me as a customer to figure out how to get the chatbot to react. Those little micro changes in the conversation design can do a lot to lift the spirits of a user.
And Salesforce has hopes and goals that this will really help a business out in this regard.
Yes, our product is the Einstein Bot Builder, which is essentially a tool with which our customers can build chatbots and hopefully empathetic chatbots for their customers. And so really our goal is trying to put as many resources into the product and out into the public as possible to show people how to create these empathetic conversational experiences. So some of that means taking the word misspellings out of the bot builder. Even though it might seem like a small thing, it will help a customer from maybe saying, okay, the bot can't understand Yas because I didn't train it to understand that. And thereby it becomes a little bit more inclusive, or a little bit more like the usability expands to broader market. When it comes to, you know, how can we tweak the conversation design to make it a little bit more specific and a stronger experience, that's something that I spearhead at Salesforce, leading our conversation design practice by, you know, talking with awesome folks like you and, publishing content, on, you know, our Salesforce channels and whatnot, actually working one-on-one with our customers to review their conversation designs and really help scale a conversational experience that can facilitate that kind of empathy.
So the Einstein chatbot, how good to go is it? Or is there a level of bespoking I can do after as a customer of Salesforce, for example?
Yes. So the Einstein Bot Builder, I'm actually really excited about this because it was just announced in our release notes. For the first time, Salesforce is releasing a template Einstein bot, and it's going to be in beta starting October, where if you're setting up an Einstein bot for the first time, there'll be a prompt where you can either start from scratch and do everything from scratch yourself, or you can click on, you know, start with an intro template, and it will set you up with some example dialogues that I designed. So I'm excited about that. And in collaboration with my colleagues, for some common business to business CRM use cases. So like you're trying to deploy a chatbot that can help customers report an issue, file a case, check their case status, maybe identify themselves as the lead in some way for sales. All of those things get packaged into the bot that they can just deploy and then edit at their will if they want to make it extra custom to their own brand voice and tone.
I'm telling you, as long as it doesn't send me the FAQ from the website, I'd be happy.
Okay.
Greg Bennett, Design Principal at Salesforce. Thanks so much for joining us today, Greg.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
This has been Mind Your Business on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.